3, 2, 1.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Well, what have we here?
It's a podcast.
Fine.
And what excitement we have today.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Did I miss something?
What do you mean?
Like what? It dropped out on me, right? Like when we were playing that BS Scooby-Doo music. It just stopped, but then you came back in.
So are we back? Just 1, 2, 3?
Yeah, I mean, okay, I guess good. So. I think we're okay.
Yeah, I think we're streaming.
I blame that music.
No, it's not the music.
No, I think it probably was the big warning that popped up on my end to say, you're banned on Facebook again. We're not going live on Facebook. I don't know. It's every day.
So but then we go back on. They post us.
Eventually,
but,
yeah.
Yeah, we can't go live.
It's this
stupid
process of Facebook notifies me, you've been banned. Would you like to appeal? I hit appeal. It says, you've been impersonating. I said, no, we weren't. And then 20 minutes later, they clear us.
Somebody's doing that to us.
Right? I have no idea. It's right now, I think it's been done to a lot of other people.
Yeah.
Yeah, but a person would give up by now, I would think.
So you think it's a bot?
I don't know what it is. Haven't figured it out.
I think it's a competing podcaster. I think it's probably Will Arnett.
I think it's Amy Poehler.
Could be. Oh, that. Yeah. She's a bitch on wheels.
Barely beat us out in the Golden Globes.
I know. We got edged out again.
We'll talk about that. I'm interested in that. That's fascinating to me. Welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show for a Tuesday. I've updated things, and I just feel as though we talk a lot about... part of the charm of this show is we talk a lot about our technical issues. And,
sure.
You know, we have to because it's just the four of us, essentially. Yeah. The five of us, if you count Carla, who's dealt with her own crap because they're just, you know. And the Book of Faces is just rife with misbehavior
in
all corners.
Four of us, that included Carla, I thought.
Oh, yeah. Four of us. Yeah, sorry about it.
Do you have someone we don't know about?
I don't know. I dropped my kid off at school all the way down. I didn't drop him off at the bus today, so I had to drive through traffic. Yeah,
that's nice because you get to see the town.
Found a new route and actually record time, and then got down to his school, and there was a giant red bus, like a big commercial bus,
like a double decker bus, like you see in Great Britain.
Not double decker, but the fifth graders.
Yeah,
I was informed by my son in the back seat. You know,
Dad, they're going on their second field trip.
I said, well, that's because they're fifth graders.
Yeah.
So fifth graders get to do that.
Where do they field trip in Florida?
They were dressed in like gym clothes. So they were going someplace fun. It looked like they were all bouncing around.
Yeah, my kids have a field trip, I think, next month, and it's to Busch Gardens.
Good field trip.
Apparently, you don't go places to learn anymore on field trips.
We had the best field trips. We had them frequently because growing up in the D.C. area, they'd just throw us on a bus and take us to a museum in D.C.
Exactly.
Cool.
And that was great. I mean, the Corcoran and all the Smithsonian's and all that stuff, I loved that.
Did most of the – you're probably one of the few that did, right?
What?
I mean, you like getting out of school, but, I mean, did the kids really like it, or did you – you like the museum part, I would imagine.
No, not so much. I mean, there were certain things I like. I didn't like art that much.
Shoes.
I did like the they're called Ruby slippers.
There you
Josh,
go,
you dummy. The
did you actually see the
shoes?
Ruby slippers in the
yeah,
museum?
Yeah, because you go to the American History Museum, and that's where all the pop culture stuff is. The art museum's not so much, but when you recognize something, it's cool. I do hold the record of. Are you familiar with the huge? I think it's a Pollock called Guernica, which is a huge splatter paint. A painting.
Yes.
And it's considered a classic by many. And we were actually on a tour and they said, what do you see in the splatters? And I walked up and I touched it. I said, I think I see a cat there, but they don't
you
like
touch
if you
the painting.
Don't you touch
do,
the- Don't touch a painting.
It's like the knowledge of pop culture in your brain exists, but then there's a massive
gap
of common sense.
I would never touch the painting.
Even for a 7-year-old, that's kind of a, a priceless work of art.
It didn't look like much to me at 7. It just looked like, spin art.
If we ever have a live show in D.C., can we offer a Smithsonian tour led by Rob?
Oh, I'd love to take everyone through the American History Museum.
Knock your socks off, that's for sure.
I would love it. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to show you all of the first ladies' dresses.
Right.
Exactly.
By the way, the people that don't want to go to that, I'll take you to Charlestown.
That's also great. Not as close to D.C.
No, you're going to have a fun drive.
And also, Mike, the rule at Charlestown also is don't touch anything.
Yeah. Don't touch anything. Don't touch,
But we'll get you a red bus to drive.
That's the problem with casinos in general, that everything's touched.
Can
you imagine taking a black light in the middle of a weekend to a casino and how much E. coli you would have?
Did they wash the chips?
I got a press release this week that for the 10th consecutive year, Charlestown's casino has the stickiest roulette chips in town.
So nasty.
It's so nasty. When you pick up one and one sticks to it, it's not good.
See, because I play slots a lot, the grease on the slots, greasiness on the slots.
What if we got you some latex gloves? Like you wear when you work.
I'm not that much of a germaphobe, but I do Purell. I Purell religiously.
Your hands or the
casino?
Knob?
The hands.
The knob.
Not the knob. The lever thing.
I
don't use the lever. I use the button.
Oh, okay. So,
yeah.
But I have seen people in casinos swab down their machine, which I think is prudent.
It's the gym move. Yeah. That's what you do.
I've seen people on an airplane that swab down where they're sitting. I think that's completely legit when you think about the griblies that exist.
Do you like
there,
it when the flight attendant, and they used to be called stewardesses, Mike, but now they're called flight attendants. Do you like it when they hand you the big...
Thanks for the bulletin.
Mike, do you like it when they hand you the big sterilizing towel when you come in? It's like a 5x8 package, and you're supposed to wipe everything down?
I haven't gotten that in my recent flying experiences.
Oh, maybe it's something that they notice when they see me. But I've been on several flights.
There's a big man. Let's give him the towel. Let's give him the fecal towel.
Right.
It looks like one of those handy wipes you would get after getting wings or a lobster or something, but it's big. It's like maybe 4x6, and it's an alcohol swab.
Does it come with the seatbelt extender?
Now listen,
I have one kit.
I want you to see this. I have a seatbelt extender right here,
Did you used to travel with that?
This was actually, now be careful, this was stolen by my Uncle Bruce, another large man, and he had his own.
That's fat. That's
that is
like
fat.
That's like accepting your fatness.
That's
when
why
you do that.
That's why he's dead.
But the fatness is just when you take one.
Oh, you have to ask for one, and it's horrible. It's horrible. And I was
it's more horrible to take one, to have one with you. Did you ever travel with one on you?
No, never did. Never did. But I did. But keep in mind, Mike, I used to weigh 75 pounds more. And when you get to that range, you need one. Even if you go like under your belly to do the seatbelt, which is uncomfortable to begin with, it's bad. And an extender makes it a much more pleasant flight.
I don't even know if I talked about when I flew up to Maine that this is just a minor thing, and everybody talks about airlines. So pardon me for being repetitive and trite and all that. But this little wizened, nasty, over-tanned lady that looked like a bird. She looked like
a crone.
She looked like a tanned older version of Ann Coulter, and we weren't. My ass was not in the seat 3 seconds before she slammed her chair back into it. Hey, thank you, Paul Price. Appreciate the super chat right out of the gate. Much appreciated. Thank you. That supports the show. I will tell you that, my God, it was insane. You know, you can always tell Rob's going to put a sound effect on, Josh.
He moves out of frame.
That's one of the beautiful things about the show, Mike.
We're all getting used to the vertical.
It's obnoxious when people do that, but it does demonstrate how very little leg room one has.
Do you ever recline anymore?
Not very often.
I don't.
If nobody's in back of me, I won't.
Find the little inch recline comfortable.
Yeah,
it's not
But I will look in back of me. And nobody does. I will actually take a look to see, is there anybody in back of it? Because it's not functional anywhere in coach to do that.
Come on. My seat extender days, sometimes I hit that button without intending to. Just by slamming my body
down. You didn't even need the button, right?
That's right. Exactly right.
On those older planes where you sit down and the seat goes thunk.
I like when you would be on the aisle and you'd actually pull up your armrest so you could sort of spill out a little bit.
I'm having a discussion with my kid about our garage. And, down here in our little ticky-tackies in Florida, we're all space-challenged. You know, we don't have giant farmhouses down here. We all seem to live in these little communities with tiny little,
no basements. I mean, they can't be conscious of going up or down. You have to just be flat.
Yeah. And it's an unbelievable amount of space you need for the golf simulator.
It is. Oh, God, I tell you. Josh sent me a picture of that. I swear to God, I want one so bad.
I got the brochure yesterday. I should just forward it to you.
Please do. I'd like to look at it just so I can pine for it when I can't get it.
Pine.
I have this discussion with my kid about the garage. Carla has very little to do with the garage outside of maybe some luggage that's stored in there. Her stuff is at her store, and maybe in the bedroom she keeps some stuff, even for our show when she's doing it.
You don't enter or exit through your garage. You use your front door exclusively, right?
No, I come in through the garage. Yeah, because my car's in the garage.
Oh, okay.
My car's in the garage because of the electric factor.
I forgot about
boogie,
the
woogie,
fact.
Woogie, woogie.
I forgot it's no longer a studio.
It's not a studio. And I come in, and so if you're counting everything, there's golf equipment.
Mm-hmm.
There's baseball equipment. There's a table that I would call my workshop table where I'll take apart and put together little cheap watches.
It's like a tool bench, isn't it?
And then there's another tool bench. And there are a couple of tool benches on either side. Then there are bicycles that are so neglected right now that I think they're ready for the trash bin, even though they were nice bikes at the time. But
don't you have the one that that has the big, big wheel up front and the small wheel behind?
Yeah, my unicycle. That wouldn't be a unicycle. I have the old style one, but I have to grow out my white handlebar mustache.
I know, and and I owe you some wax for your mustache too.
So then there's the fishing equipment, and I put a rack on the front of the garage, which contains all my son's 500 fishing rods, and
ever-growing.
And then on the far right are the electric vehicles. I believe two scooters and an e-bike that we got him 3 years ago that he ruined by taking it apart and breaking it. And that has been in the garage forever.
Wasn't he, his notion on taking it apart was like to upgrade it to get more speed or something? I mean,
modify it. That's what he was trying to do.
His procedure was honorable. He didn't set out to break it. He wanted to make it better.
Well, it doesn't matter because it got to a point where he never liked it. Even though I spent, did I spend the money that everybody else spends on some of these? No, I didn't. Did I get him a knockoff? No. I got him a less expensive one, and he wanted to make it look like the expensive one, and then he wrecked it.
To be fair, his friends always left him in the dust.
That's
He'd
true.
Just be the guy back there behind trying to keep up.
It moved up.
But then flash forward to this past Christmas, and Josh and I discussed it a lot of times where we were talking about the e-bikes and how we both are vetoing the e-bikes. And then, Josh's
it showed up.
Ex's beau or new husband bought it, which was terrible.
It did show up, you say, Josh?
Yeah, it arrived this week.
Bastard.
Wow.
Not at my house, but over there.
Anyways.
So have you seen it? Because I still love the theory that it was never really purchased.
But it was.
No, but I've seen it on FaceTime.
I'm sorry to hear that.
That sucks. That's not responsible. But anyway, I hope he's okay. We have a discussion about the garage. We're driving, and I said, Michael, I stopped the car right in front of the garage with the door open. And I said, Michael, we got to deal with this. This has gotten to a point where now it's just not functional. There's stuff. You've got fishing lures and tackle boxes on the floor. You've got this here. I've got watches, microfiber towels, their e-bike. And that e-bike, are you ever going to ride that e-bike? He said, Dad, I can't. I said, I'm getting rid of it if it's okay with you. He said, yeah, get rid of it. And I realized that if you wanted to be mechanically oriented, you could strip it and perhaps, sell off.
Part it out.
I'm done. Yeah. This thing is clunky. It's big. last night, it's trash day today, so last night everybody's putting their barrels out, and I took the e-bike and I rolled it out to the street. I live in a gated community, by the way, and put it right next to the trash barrels. We went to school, woke up this morning, gone. It was not taken by any of the people that work during the day here or any of the people that manage the trash. It was taken by a resident somewhere
That's
in here.
Almost Manassas Fest.
I don't know why that gives me such a feeling of satisfaction.
I love it. When we used to put stuff out when you were doing, I think it was when you were gearing up for a yard sale, and we put stuff out on your curb in Manassas, and we'd look out the window and wait for someone to come get it. And they would. Yeah,
exactly. And I'm going to do the same thing each week with bicycles now, because the bicycles, I priced how much it's going to cost the bicycles to fix the bike. Don't care to do it. Don't care to go through
what
that expense.
Next week you roll out a bicycle and you secretly like zip tie it to the can. So when they jump off
with people,
make it a little harder.
I truly want to give people an opportunity to, use something or repair it, bicycle repair. And
Mike,
and
it's very green of you.
I'm downsizing by just getting rid of stuff that I don't use and I don't need. I'm really excited. I got one product that was a present given to me that I'm using the crap out of. And that's that, what's that flat grill that everybody, griddle?
Oh, the Blackstone, the amazing Blackstone.
I'm using the S out of the Blackstone. Yeah. I had kids over. I used it twice. It's fantastic. I love the thing. I'm nurturing it. I'm taking care of it.
You have to season it down.
I oil it down when I'm done using it. I love that. But everything, there is so much crap, and that is I'm jumping the gun on spring, and I'm editing that garage. I'm getting rid of everything I don't need.
Is Jake going to end up on the curb?
Nope.
How quickly he gets taken.
No. Jake is part of the fam. I might be the only one that cares about Jake, but I care about him.
Do you feel that he's like a stepbrother that you brought to the marriage? You love him and the rest of the family not so much?
There's one.
I picture you every time you park the car, you get out and kind of tap on the glass, say hi to Jake on your way in the door.
I just talk to him. I talk to him at night when I pull the car in the evening, like after evaluations last night. That's what the kids do for Little League, and then the draft is tonight, which is it's just silly, but it's what they do.
Mel Kiper Jr. talking about it. It's going to be a big one.
So I will just say goodnight to Jake. But Jake, if I can use one word to describe him, misunderstood. He's misunderstood. He's misunderstood.
But not by you. You understand him.
I understand that he is
Where is the misunderstanding?
That's a scary snake. People are scared of snakes. They don't need to be. They don't need to be scared.
I like that
of snakes.
You and Jake have a special bond. So if you're having a bad day, you can just go out there and talk to Jake.
You know what? I wouldn't take it that far. I don't have a lot to do with him, but he's so low maintenance. Like the greatest low maintenance pet in the world. You don't have to feed him on any kind of regular schedule. You just feed him. And I feed him much more often than once a month, but I could feed him once a month. That's the way it works with him. I clean out his enclosure periodically, and it is just, and he's so docile. And he'll be sleeping under the little piece of AstroTurf that I put in the enclosure.
He's docile, Mike, until he's not docile.
He's not docile when you put like a live rat and your hand might get down there. He mistakes it for the rat and he might take a shot at you. That's the only time there's any problem. And that, I don't consider that to be legit.
We've done a lot of stuff together, and some of it not always agreeable to the both of us, but really the worst thing you've ever made me do was feed him a mouse.
You didn't like that.
I hated it.
I loved it.
And you stayed and watched me react to it.
I enjoy. I don't linger for the show like I used to, where he unhinges his jaw.
Well, no,
and he
the
takes
show
the
you wanted
in.
Was me being horrified. You wouldn't let me leave the bedroom.
Did it squeak?
Mike, the whole thing I sort of blocked because it was that horrifying. Because we had to drive to your Sears Roebuck pet store or whatever.
Dead.
No, we got a live one, and it came in a box.
You can use a dead one, too. You can do a dead one and a frozen one and just dangle it in front of
it. I believe you wanted the full show for me, so we went to your huge Sears Roebuck pet store, whatever that is.
Pet Kingdom.
that pet kingdom, and
with
we had the
giant
box
python or boa constrictor in the front. That
and
massive
nothing,
boa constrictor.
Nothing smells like a pet store. And we
by
go
the way,
in there.
They have been taken over by new management, and they are that odor is yeah. not what it used to be. It is a
smell
much
of money
cleaner
now.
Store. Much well, do you know what they're selling? Do you know what they sell puppies for now?
What?
I mean, like thousands of dollars.
Well, that's rescue. If you don't rescue a dog, you are the worst person on the planet.
That's not
if you
true.
Want a dog.
That's no. not true.
Mike, there are no. dogs out there that are dying
to be.
You
support President Trump, you're the worst person in the world.
Okay,
sorry.
What about
sorry.
A, what about a Trump supporter either. That buys like a Labradoodle? That's the worst thing.
No, but they've got Boston Terriers and Boxers and Golden Retrievers, and they've got them all. And puppies.
Oh, a Golden Retriever? The impossible to find Golden Retriever?
I remember when you could get a puppy for like $25-$30. Back
what did you
in the,
pay for Beluga?
Oh,
because I know that was
maybe $100.
Yeah, and that was a sort of a you know you saw it and you wanted it. So I
saw it off a Route 40 going down to Atlantic City, coming back from a gambling.
That's the better
jag.
Way to do it. I like when you go to the farm and you buy it straight from the breeder.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that see that's a Maryland, Virginia. Well,
that's
probably
how we
all
buy
over.
That's how we buy our cows.
No, I mean I've been to a farm where there are breeders, and that's a great way to buy a dog, especially if you get to go out there when the litter is you know has just come along, and you get to look and pick out your puppy. But that place is where they have very reasonable rats. And here's the difference: if you go to a pet store,
that would be a better name than Pet Kingdom. Reasonable rats.
Reasonable rats. Rat City. No, you go to a pet store.
Yeah.
And get yourself a rat to feed a snake. It's going to cost you like $14. You go to Pet Kingdom where they have all these rats, and it'll cost you $5 and change.
I was when I fed
it
Jake.
Is.
It was he was in his mouse era. He wasn't as big as he is now. So we got a live mouse, but you did ask for a fat one. And he had a little box with holes in it. And I remember driving back from the place. I said, "Why are we bothering to put breathing holes in this?" Because we're just going to feed him to a snake in 10 minutes.
Well, they give you the little cardboard box.
Yeah, exactly. The cat
that has him, and then he's dispatched. And by the way, relatively quickly. It's not a long-suffering situation, especially now that he's a lot bigger. You know, there's not a lot of jumping around. They take care of it. It's the circle of life, and I'm not a rodent fan. So I don't really care. I don't care. I mean, I'm not affected by that. And I will tell you that as far as pets go, taking a snake out of its enclosure and playing with it and letting it curl around and fascinating creatures when you look at them.
If you wanted really to save money, you should just once a month take Jake to Washington, D.C., and let him go on the street in the evening, and he would find himself a rat no time.
Yeah, that would be all well and good, but then the hunt would begin because he'd be, he'd go away somewhere.
No, we talked about it yesterday. The small
nooks
leash,
and crannies, and all that. That's
little collar,
a little tiny collar on the back of the snake. I watch snake videos all the time. I watch the guys down in Australia that or South Africa looking for the boom slang. There's a venomous boom slang. There's a venomous boom slang that I'm trying to get there. It's in the ladies' garden. It's in the ladies' garden.
I just realized that the South African accent is a little bit akin to the female voice that Andrew Dice Clay does.
Hey, Dice, there we go. Only you put that in the daily bit like for me. But anywho, I just, I don't know, the procedure has begun of cleaning out the garage.
What's
and I'm
the next item to leave after bicycles?
After bicycles?
Will you entertain a suggestion?
Maybe my watch wheel, my grinder.
No, but you use that, don't you?
Yeah, but it's not. I don't know how to maintain it.
Mike,
and it's ugly.
Keep the watch wheel. Start thinning out your Christmas decor.
No, that's not in the way. That's
Are you
not
sure?
In the way.
Yeah, I mean, even the did you throw away the solar things?
Threw those away. Ones.
Okay, yeah, so they're not in the way. Okay,
yeah, threw those away. And that's when Josh said, oh, it's just because it didn't get a good charge. And then I felt bad about getting rid of it. But I never liked it anyway. It was a failed experiment. It was $14 experiment.
I know you saved a lot of space because this is the first year you've been storing your Christmas inflatables deflated. It, they take up so much less room.
No, we were really, after the Timu, we were ornament free and Christmas tree free this year.
Because you weren't around for Christmas.
Yeah, we ended up going and buying another one up in Maine and took that down in short order as well, because that's where we were. And we may be there next year as well. It was a fake tree, right?
Artificial?
Yeah, artificial. Okay. Everybody's got them up there now.
But I was going to say, I think Maine would be, they would be really bad about having, they say, oh, artificial, blah, 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 get a real tree.
Maine you go buy a real tree, and then on New Year's Eve you set it on fire.
That's right. And you roast, and you roast lobsters on it.
That would be fun, you know. By the way, I wanted to say thank you to Rob Spiewak. I wrote this down. This is literally what I wrote on my show prep. Rob's shiny new Facebook page.
Thank you.
In parentheses, I put no pride.
No pride in what? What does that mean?
What does that mean?
No pride in being associated with this show.
How do you mean that? I mean,
because even after you changed it, there was like virtually nothing. It reminded me of Oscar's page sometimes, you know.
Hey, take that back.
I just said that to get you going.
His banner is now currently the show logo.
Yeah, that's
gigantic.
The biggest picture on my page is the show logo. I did update the
Can we bring
email.
It up? Is it possible to bring that up?
Of course we can.
Now, the one thing that I did not expect yesterday when I was going through and making sure all of my stuff was up to date, because I probably haven't touched it in years, is that I hadn't put as a notable date
you
in my life.
You touched it when you put up Hicks Nix.
No, that was automatic, Mike. I added Hicks Nix put it in there. But in any case, one of the notable things in my life.
Can you tell I really don't mean it?
I know.
I really
don't.
Mike,
look, what's the one thing that screams at you when you look at that?
Mike O'Mara Show.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But the problem was, as I saw in my notable
dates. Many different fans have done that over the years.
And you know what, Mike? They take pride in the show, but not as much pride as me. Because I'm invested.
No, you had to be browbeaten into putting that up.
He even added a link. Mm-hmm. Straight to the website.
Ah, that's more than I have. I should do that. I don't think I have a link. I'm going to put a link up. I'm
but the weird,
actually, he's got it twice.
I saw that I had not added as in key dates in my life, my marriage. And so I added it as October 12th, 1996.
Wasn't that up? That was up before you.
No, I had all I've had before is that Carrie and I were in a domestic partnership. And so I put in the marriage.
Isn't that really what it is anyway, though?
Mike, it's more business than anything. but it popped up and it said, Rob Spiewak married Carrie Spiewak, October 12th, 1996. That's nearly 30 years ago. And I realize that everyone is thinking it's either my anniversary or we just got married because they're not looking at the date. And what I wrote under it is, didn't know if this would stick, so I didn't want to post it prematurely.
How is the lovely Carrie Spiewak? How
She's
is she
great.
Doing?
She's wonderful. She's got she has been so re-energized by having Robert in her classroom with her. It's really.
Oh, you
really...
mean Robert is her assistant?
Yes, I told you this.
Oh, I thought it was just he was a teacher's assistant. I didn't know he was going to be assisting Carrie.
He's a TA in the special ed class with her. And so they can commiserate when the kids are rotten.
Here's to Loudoun County supporting the Spiewak family. That's fantastic.
It. Yeah, it's very, very cool. So that is something that she absolutely wants.
Robert never gets a break from his boss.
That's true.
Constantly. Constantly. Yeah.
Would I say that Robert has called me from school on a break to just talk to someone that isn't mom? I won't say that, but he has.
Are they getting along?
Absolutely. Better than ever. Because they have a common...
Hey, mom's bothering me with this. How do you handle it?
He said, well, I believe the phrase was, you know, mom. And I said, yes, I do. And have for a long time.
That's kind of cool, though. I mean,
I couldn't be more thrilled.
You really never hear about, relatives that are in the classroom. I think that's super cool. And
what's funny is they call him Mr. Rob. So it's not the same as Mrs. Spiewak.
Right.
But still, like, he had to do something at the office yesterday with a student, and they said, oh, Robert, would you tell your mom this? Like, within the school, it's not exactly the most professional thing when they're referring to your coworker as your mom.
When will he spread his wings and become a full-fledged educator?
He's looking into it right now. If he stays in the TA position for a certain number of months, I believe it is, Loudoun County will fund an online program to get his teaching certificate.
So about a year, maybe,
yeah,
something like
so.
That?
Yeah, and he is. It's so rewarding for him. It's everything the previous position lacked for him.
That's awesome.
Which makes
him
good. Very happy, yeah.
Can I brag about my little man?
Yes, please.
His third semester now. He has his year and a half of high honors, mm-hmm. straight A's, eclipsed his dad. I never, ever... Ever. I never even sniffed straight A's in my academic career. And
I thought you did at American University.
No.
What were you sniffing there?
I think my GPA, it was over a B average at the end of my college career.
Was it a solid 3, a 3.0?
No, it was probably a 3.6.
That's insanely good.
Yeah, but that's not going to get you in any like great law school or anything like that.
You don't need to go to a law school. Yeah.
You didn't want that.
No, I didn't want that at all. I wanted to get out and spin wax.
Exactly.
But you got a degree for that.
You got a 4.0 in top 40.
So they get done with the first semester, and then they kind of drag their feet where they make an announcement that January 12th is going to be the day that report cards come out. And then the night before on the website for the school, they just put high honors down. So he knew and came out and showed us before we got the actual report card. And it's just amazing to me.
That's so cool.
That's because you're at the stage now in sixth grade where
it's starting to matter.
It matters. And it's definitely a work ethic that he has. And it helps. It's just incredible. And I'm so proud of him. And he takes it seriously. And
I just hope he doesn't fall apart in college like my boy did.
Well, did your boy get high honors?
He was a very, very, very
high
school
student. But I mean, you always said that Julia's smart and Robert's strong.
I think Robert graduated with like a 3.6 from high school.
Okay, so but he also, your son also came back at college strongly,
absolutely,
and finished with a bang, right?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
You can't predict the future. It's just when your son does something you never did. And he does it in such a way that he does it on his own. I mean, does he get some help from me periodically? Yeah, I thought I'd be much more engaged with helping him in academic. No, because he gets
When did he surpass you?
And
3 years ago.
Yeah,
changed math, so no one can help anyway.
That's true.
Math is just different now. Math is totally different. And A minuses in math and English, and then all A pluses in like science and Spanish and a number of other things, and then the easy stuff, you know.
My daughter did the same
wow.
all A's. And
it's
in
great.
The first semester, I looked at the report card, and it said like 5 of her 6 subjects, 100%. And I said, this is broken. This isn't possible. Like, how does that even work in school?
I mean, it's great.
I got all C's. It's great.
I think it's just, I admire it because we've been there. And when mm-hmm. your kids pass you by, it's really inspiring. And it's, you know, and then off to the evaluations last night, which he was stressed out about because he had a crappy one a year ago. And
now, does that involve an in-person meeting, the evaluation? How does it work?
The coaches go to the ballpark and they sit around. They put their little camp chairs around the diamond, and then the kids get up and they get 4 or 5 swings, then they get 4 or 5 ground balls, and they hit 4 or 5. The evaluations are designed to weed out, as Josh will tell you, kids that don't know how to play baseball.
How did he do at the interview process?
Yeah.
He didn't do any interview.
You see, what I was picturing, Mike, was like an elimination round on Survivor. Like, they're all around a campfire, and they're talking about how they screwed up and how they
Here's what happened last night that did not happen a year ago.
Okay.
And I'm going to ask Josh about this because I don't know this racket still. There are parents that know it backwards and forwards. I don't. Josh, I thought he did okay. He made contact on every all of his four pitches, and I think three out of the four and he hit fair. He didn't foul. And, you know, in a couple maybe one ground ball and then two line drives to the outfield. And then he bobbled a ground ball, got the other three that were hit to him, and then the outfield was fine. He caught a ball on the run, and then the coach was hitting him in weird places. So they had to ask him to come back out and catch because they hit him over the kids' heads and stuff like that. So here's the question. This is what he said to me afterwards, and this didn't happen last year. He said, four managers came up and asked him what position he played. That's a very good sign. That's a very good sign.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I assume that means you behaved.
I behaved totally well. Yeah. But
no one said, "Well, I don't want that dad on my team."
No. I think.
That's a real thing. I know you behaved. That's a real thing, though.
But I mean, I don't. I had the one moment with, but it was not. I'm not. I don't fall into the category of like a real bad. Am I a great parent? No. I'm not.
Did he also mention,
a great baseball parent.
Mike, that three managers came up to him and said, is your dad the one who tripped on the roots?
That's football.
That's
football.
I got a text from my brother last night. And you know how competitive we are.
Yes.
All the text says is, I just lost my second basketball game, 18-16, and almost got in a fight with the other coach. It got ugly.
Oh, no. Oh,
and the only response I got, I said, first I said, I didn't know you were coaching basketball. But then the question was, what happened? And he said, just defending my players. He's coaching like 8U.
Would you tell your brother? Under, yeah. Would you tell your brother that earns a place on the show this week or next week, please? I would like to have him pop in and talk about that. Tony Soroka, Josh's brother. What's his first name? I'm sorry,
Matt
Soroka. Anthony
Soroka.
Hey, it's Tony Soroka. Hey, what are you doing?
Hey, my players.
Come on.
All right, we'll get him on the show. We got more show coming up, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, we can talk about our kids, talk about how inadequate we are, talk about neighbors stealing e-bikes from your front lawn. No, they didn't. It was on the trash. It was out for the trash.
And you know what, Mike? Good for them.
Hey, nausea, I've got a word for you. Relief band is the key. I'm writing my own jingle right now.
I like it.
Your days are numbered, nausea, because we can fight back with Relief Band. There it is. Look at them, all three. Yeah. It's the original anti-nausea wristband. It's clinically proven, drug-free, and doctor-recommended. It stops nausea from motion sickness, migraines, anxiety, hangovers, morning sickness, chemo, and more. I use it when I go on a fishing trip so I don't barf. Just strap it on, adjust the intensity, and feel relief kick in. It works. I know it. I've used it. It's fast, zero side effects. The new Premier Plus Relief Band model goes even further. Smart skin sensing technology, a built-in digital clock, and next-level nausea control. It sounds too good to be true, but it works. I have it. I use it. I love it. Relief Band isn't magic, it's science. Hospital developed, doctor backed, and life changing. If you want to cure your nausea problem fast and you want to do it without drugs, join the hundreds of thousands of people who are nausea free with Relief Band. Right now, an exclusive offer just for Mike O'Mara Show listeners. If you go to reliefband.com and use promo code TMOS, you will receive 20% off plus free shipping. So head to reliefband.com and use our promo code TMOS for 20% off plus free shipping. One of my favorite movies, ladies and gentlemen, absolutely one of my top ones, is Good Will Hunting. I think it's one of the best movies ever made. Really, really, just lots of
Mike,
fun. Yes.
Do you like apples?
How about them apples? Huh?
Exactly. Thank you.
Good Will Hunting gave Matt Damon and Ben Affleck massive careers. We all know that.
Sure.
And riches most of us can only dream about. Both of them have had amazing Hollywood careers. But at the time, the pay actually kind of sucked. And that even surprises me because Good Will Hunting was a major motion picture.
Sure.
Studio film. Technically, they got $600,000 for the movie, but they never actually saw that much. On yesterday's Howard Stern show, Ben said, quote, "It turns out, Howard, you have to pay these things called taxes." Damon added that it was a big wake-up call. We were like, we understand this guy gets half, but who else gets half? What's happening? Ben compared it to, quote, having an ex-wife right away. You just divide, divide, divide. Oh, but he added, quote, that joke is in no way meant to reflect on anyone. Duh, Ben. About 3 years ago.
If you had to pick a favorite of the two of them, would it be Ben?
Oh, I love Damon.
Oh, yeah, I do too.
I love
do.
Damon. Yeah, it's Damon makes me laugh. And Damon's got a better sense of humor than Affleck.
I agree.
100%. About 3 years ago, Affleck revealed on the Drew Barrymore show that after everyone else took their cut, he and Matt were each left with around $110,000. But it put him on the map,
poor
of
them.
Course. Yeah, poor you. They both proceeded to buy $55,000 Jeep Cherokees. Then they rented a $5,000 a month party house.
Wait, they got twin cars?
Matching cars?
It's a little weird, isn't it?
That's very nice. Yes. Look at you.
Then they rented a $5,000 a month party house near the Hollywood Bowl, and they were broke in 6 months.
Good for them.
But things seem to turn out okay.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
I know. Look at that. We're so jealous.
We are.
We just grumble at that story.
Cherokee.
Okay. So, yeah, it's official. Sponsored they have podcasts on the Golden Globes.
Yes.
But they're not podcasts. Kinda.
Not real podcasts. They've got Hollywood made podcasts.
Celebrity podcasts.
Yes. Right.
Good Hang. Great name. With Amy Poehler, won the inaugural Golden Globe for Best Podcast. This is exactly how I pictured it. Snoop Dogg giving me the award, Poehler said.
You know what? Star. She's perky.
Are you a fan? I'm not a big fan.
She's all right. I don't like her in her podcast. I like her in a Saturday Night Live setting. I think that's when she's at her best.
Mm-hmm.
I think she should be a guest on podcasts, not have her own podcast.
That's
valid. I'd take her on this one in a heartbeat.
Mm-hmm.
100%. Poehler's interview style podcast launched in March. Hey, she started in March and she got a Golden Globe Award.
You know, some people are they just have the knack. Yeah.
It's they know people.
Are we sounding bitter, as bitter as we really are?
I hope that the Golden Globe comes with a $55,000 Jeep Cherokee.
Hey, Poehler's interview.
This is part of why we can't get big name guests on podcasts anymore.
Because they're all out in LA.
They all go to their friends' shows.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think a better name for her show would be Bipolar.
That would be hysterical.
See?
There
That's what
you
do.
Yeah. And he did that, by the way, he did that in 5 seconds.
No, he didn't. He's been working on that since the show launched in April.
No, I haven't. I've heard that joke
out of his mouth about
really?
This podcast.
Have you really? Has he done it before?
It's so obvious, though. It's just such an obvious joke. Why wouldn't you think of it?
Because you could have gone with the polar bear.
No, that's not it. Because she's not a big hairy guy.
What is Spotify's The Ringer? Because this is the sentence I'll give it to you. I'm confused by it. Poehler's interview style podcast launched in March at Spotify's The Ringer with Tina Fey as a guest. Is The Ringer some sort of lineup?
The Ringer is the podcast that Spotify owns and pays for. So it's Amy Poehler, it's Bill Simmons, it's
then
some
she
others.
Got then it was followed the interviews with Seth Meyers, Rashida Jones, Abby Jacobson, Ilana Glazer, and Renee Rapp. Cole,
you know what?
Care? Come on.
What's amazing is that she could win that prize, and she's never interviewed the bobblehead guy.
She got former First Lady Michelle Obama.
Okay. Well, that's good too.
Isn't that nice? Yeah. Here's
she's got
her
a better booker.
I just want to say that I know I am new to this game. I have great respect for this form. I have great respect for all the people that I am nominated with. I'm big fans of all of you, except for NPR. Just a bunch of celebs phoning it in, Poehler says.
She's trying to make a joke.
She is.
This was the first year podcasts were an awards category at the Golden Globes. And I just want to say I'm honored for next year to be named for the Podcast Pioneer Awards.
Oh, good for you, Mike. I love the fact that you're right at the forefront. Yeah.
No, I'll never. It's the way it is. You know, you got to accept your station in life
on the
and
Mount,
be happy.
On the Mount Rushmore of podcast creators,
I wouldn't be there. Mark Maron would get credit. Joe Rogan would get credit.
We need a new name for podcasts or something, because 2026, it's just going to get worse. where these big name celebrity podcasts are all getting deals with Netflix. So now it's just a talk show on Netflix. It's not a podcast.
You're right.
A heavily edited interview.
You know, I got a name here that I could maybe use. Maybe we could use this on the podcast. It's often a compliment when someone calls you a celebrity doppelganger.
Yeah.
Even if you know you're more of a poor man's version of that celebrity. But now there's a special slang word for that. Gen Zers have been tossing around a new term, choppelganger. It means you look like someone's doppelganger, but a little uglier.
Yeah, I don't.
Oh, okay. I have a choppelganger, Bruce Willis.
No, but see, I prefer. I think it's the older people use the term that Rob would be a Timu Bruce Willis.
I'll take that.
Whenever we would see somebody who looked like a celebrity but uglier,
right,
we would say that looks like so and so from 3 Mile Island, which means
I remember that. Yeah,
that's the celebrity, but they've been affected by radiation, so they don't look that. Choppelganger. The word chopped is now being used to call people or things unattractive, like that person's chopped or undesirable.
Have you heard choppelganger yet from your kid?
I have not. No, I heard. I didn't. You know what I heard today as he got out of the car? See you later, Unc.
Unc is transitioning now.
Yeah.
And he said, "No, Dad, I love you." That's what he said.
But I learned choppelganger last night as well, and I haven't heard it from my kids yet. In fact, I sent it over to Rob to try to get it as a TikTok video to try to get ahead of you on this one.
Oh, really? Okay.
Because now it's like, now we've learned slang. Let's see how long it takes for the kids to use it.
Mike, I think your choppelganger back in the day was Brian Keith from Family Affair.
It's not true. That I don't know where you got that. It was that one and Vincent Price.
I think they were both bad images.
You've got the Sally Ray.
You know who I think my doppelganger is right now?
Doppel or Choppel?
Let's just say Doppel. I don't like the new term. Mike Hermantraut. If you can bring a picture up and do a split screen of Mike Hermantraut.
What's his name? Jonathan something. I know. Yeah, I know what you mean. Does Josh have a choppelganger or doppelganger?
Oh, Jonathan Banks.
Yeah,
okay.
After we do me with Mike Hermantraut, if he can find a picture, I will give you Josh's. And Rob, you might not know it. Don't say anything.
I think I know where you're going with mine. Okay. I am annoyed because it was in the news yesterday.
Really? Well, I don't know, but all right, so here's Mike Hermantraut next to me. Oh, let's see.
Hold on, it's struggling to bring it up.
That's
Come
okay.
On. Come on,
we can
buddy.
Do it. We can do it. I know it's been you got lots of new stuff going on.
You know,
on
Mike.
I like this picture because it matches Mike's new little Facebook picture, the black and white.
The black and white. Mike, I see it. But if you're growing your hair out, you're going to have to find a new one.
Yeah, I am growing my hair out. Yeah. All right, Rob. Yeah. I don't even know the guy's name, but look up the, I think, defensive coordinator Cliff Kingsbury.
Oh, the fact that Josh is aware of it.
And here's my problem.
Is he the defensive or offensive coordinator?
For the Redskins?
For the Commanders.
Oh, yeah, sorry. The Commanders.
Yes.
I don't know, but he interviewed for the Ravens job yesterday.
Okay, there he is. That's better. There he is with the hair. Josh Soroka, the coordinator. I think
every
it's
time
the
he's on TV, people message me.
He needs to get big glasses, though. If we could you Photoshop big glasses onto him?
I think that's amazing. I truly do. There's a woman on TikTok that claims people refer to her as Mick Jagger's choppelganger.
And that's
said,
tough.
If you think she's got to be pretty.
Yeah.
If you think someone has a choppelganger, keep it to your dang self. See her at some point. That'd be but yeah. Don't you agree that looks like Josh? That
100%,
guy, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I look like Mike Hermantraut.
You gotta shave your head if you want to do that.
All right. Here are some fun facts. I'm just gonna throw these out at you.
As they used to say on Letterman, fun facts.
Number one, alligators go through a pseudo hibernation in the winter, and they keep their noses above the surface of the water, so if it freezes over, they can still breathe. I've seen that. They kind of just float in the water. I've seen the guys now that have taken to going into the Everglades and putting a GoPro on the end of a fishing line and just seeing what's down there, which is fun.
Carrie has done that before, the semi-hibernation. But she always keeps her nose above water.
above the sheets.
Yeah, exactly, so she can breathe.
The hottest place on Earth lost the title it held for 90 years when it was found that the man making the original measurements likely misread the thermometer. That was in the Mediterranean city of El Azizia in northern Libya. Now the title belongs to Death Valley, California.
We got an email here from northern Libya and the temperature from a C. Stuang Stabilak.
Sorry, I got it wrong.
You should sue me. Charlie, you should use a digital thermometer.
So sue me. 25%. Here's how many percent? Well, I already said it. 25% of U.S. parents are unmarried. That's not a huge change from 30 years ago when 21% were unmarried, but it's a massive increase from 60 years ago.
What? Married to each other?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, okay. 60 years ago, just 7% were unmarried. That's when we used to have the nuclear family as we've disintegrated.
It's almost like something went wrong in this country.
Mm-hmm. It is. And then again, people aren't having kids like they used to. You know?
Well, they shouldn't be having kids out of wedlock regardless.
Welcome to the Moral Corner.
Follow me, act like me.
The Mike O'Meara Show podcast.
Be like me, yes.
Okay, and the last one here. Rob, we know you're a Jackie Mason fan.
Yes.
Frank Sinatra supposedly hired thugs to beat up comedian Jackie Mason.
I've never heard this.
They beat him up for making fun of him for marrying Mia Farrow, who was 30 years younger.
Yes.
After Mason had his face wired back together,
he kept
making jokes. He'd say, quote, Frank Sinatra saved my life one night. He said, boys, that's enough.
Jackie Mason, you know, he talks about everything. I'm surprised that he hasn't brought that up now that Frank's dead.
Is he alive or dead?
I think he has passed. I believe so.
No longer with it. I believe so. Stanley Cups, and I'm not talking about the Canadian kind that you get for hockey.
I got one right here.
There's a Stanley. They're not that hard to come by. You see them in stores all over the
place. They were extraordinarily hot two Christmases ago. That's when they were hard to get, I think.
And I maintain that even though now they're easier to get, still no one deserves to have theirs stolen. Mm-hmm. A 29-year-old woman in Florida. Of course it's Florida. Her name, Ariana Moss. That sounds like a very exotic celebrity-style name, doesn't it?
Jackie Mason, dead summer of 2021.
Sorry about that. Safe travels.
Yes.
She was arrested, Ariana Moss was, on a misdemeanor charge after she allegedly stole a coworker's 40-ounce light blue Stanley cup. It was a $60 cup. Well, that's ridiculous anyway, right there, yes. $60. But it was used, not new. Ariana was caught on camera eyeing the cup.
Look at that cup.
Then hiding it in her lunchbox and leaving with it. It wasn't an accident. She knew it belonged to a 22-year-old coworker, and she'd even talked about it before. A coworker said Ariana once pointed to the cup and said, "This cup would be great to hold my breast milk." Florida. Florida. Oh. I didn't see that one coming.
Hold on
just a second. I got to play it. I don't know where it is yet.
Because they're thermal, Josh.
Yeah, she's got a good point. It would.
Maybe we can
keep it cool for 24 hours.
A coworker said Ariana once pointed to the cup and said, "This cup would be great to hold my breast milk."
I think in that tape, the third one is my favorite.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mike, can you play it once more?
How is your fermented tofu, sir?
Well, that's one, two, three. Three is my favorite.
There are four of them in there. Ariana has since quit her job as a supervisor. So you want to promote.
Yeah.
Unclear if the Stanley Cup was returned, and if so, the coworker is willing to drink from it again, because it might be full of Ariana's Griblies.
Yeah.
Which would be nasty, right? Horrible. Yeah, nasty, huh?
Especially, you know, without the cup, you can bet she's engorged.
Oh, God. There you go,
always
right?
Always the next level.
Always he has to just kick in a nastiness there. Just horrible.
Yeah, you make the third. You're gonna make the third gag sound.
Not fun. All right, hold on. I'm having trouble with my thing here.
Oh, Mike, all this right. one you could do from the top of your head. It's Dermglow.
Well, yeah, Dermglow. It's my wife's company, and there she is. That's Carla, right up there, above all the pill bottles, where she always is.
like Elvis.
New year, new you. And this time, let's actually make it happen. If weight loss has been on your mind, or you're just tired of the food noise, the cravings, and starting over every Monday, Carla from Dermglow Skin has you covered. Through Dermglow Skin, you can access doctor-guided weight loss programs designed for real life. No gimmicks, no judgment. And yes, payment plans are available. HSA and FSA cards are welcome. Getting started is easy. Just head to DermglowSkin.com and click the weight loss button after a quick online process. Medical approval and your medication shipped straight to your door. While you're there, Carla just opened a brand new Dermglow Skin location right here in Fort Myers, Florida, fully stocked with professional skincare that you can shop in-store or online for. She ships everywhere, and she ships fast, so your skin can have a new year glow to match your new year goals. Like a lady said to me when I was at her spa, after she came out from getting a facial, she looked at me and she said, "Your wife is a genius." That's wow. Pretty good stuff. One website, two wins, weight loss support, and glow-worthy skincare. Go to DermGlowSkin.com. That's DermGlowSkin.com, and start your new year the DermGlow way. If you're coming down here on vacation, go see Carla. She'd love to give you a facial as well, and she's fantastic at it. So there we are.
And if you come down and visit, Mike will sign your Stanley Cup.
Thank you. Not the hockey kind, though.
No.
Rob Spiewak, is it mummies or is it 11/22/63?
I want to talk. Mummies will keep. I want to. Oh, they're designed to. I want to talk about 11/22/63. I asked Josh about this before the program, and he said he watched it when it came out, or at least a little bit.
I saw one episode in February 15th, 2016, when it came out.
This is a 10-year-old show that was one of the first, if not the first, dramatic episodic shows that Hulu put out. But Hulu has always been challenged.
Yeah.
Hard to
Didn't
follow.
Didn't we have them as a sponsor way at the beginning? Way back, right?
And they said, if you can, work in a few shows that people would like to watch. And that was always a challenge.
It was. I remember that.
I remember saying,
where's the good stuff here, right? NBC? You know, was it a spinoff of NBC? Wasn't it associated with them?
It was with a bunch of TV networks got together.
Okay. Yeah, you're right.
We're not going to let Netflix take this.
Mm-hmm. Well, this was trending on Netflix as one of the top 10 series in America yesterday. So I popped it on while I'm making dinner. And I read the credits, and I didn't know that it was 10 years old. And it made me wonder why it was trending. It's based on a book by Stephen King. It has an amazing cast. And Mike, you would love the plot, even though it's a time travel show. I know you don't much like time travel.
Right.
That time travel is handled in a very clever and almost... it's not the driving force. This guy discovers a portal in a diner that takes him back to 1960. And he can go back to 1960 and live through those times to prevent the assassination of Kennedy.
That's the date, 11/22/63.
Yeah, but he has to stay back there 3 years to do it. But he is so storied, and he knows all the history leading up to it. He moves into apartments that he can, like, watch
Oswald
before Oswald moves into the apartments.
I love the premise.
Mike, I had it on in the background. I sat down and watched 3 one-hour episodes last night, and the only reason I stopped is Carrie came home, and I didn't feel like explaining it to her because there's so much going on. There really, really is. But if you started from the beginning...
That's a match made in heaven, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, and it's based on a Stephen King book.
Yeah,
so you've got all of that.
The period flavor is great, and there's this one scene that's so chilling where he eventually finds a guy...
How many episodes?
8 total episodes.
8 total, okay.
But they're all an hour or a little more, and he finds a guy that he has to reveal what's going on.
Don't spoil it. Don't spoil it.
He's along.
It's only 10 years old.
The guy comes along for the ride. But Mike, this one scene when the guy just finds out that Kennedy is going to be shot, because it takes place really during the Nixon Kennedy election, the front of it. And they're walking through Dealey Plaza, and he says, "Well, that's the book depository. And there might have been a lady with a babushka over there, and there might have been another gun over there." And it's just we know so much about the Kennedy assassination, and we know so little about the Kennedy assassination.
Yeah, because the whole magic bullet theory, where could it really have done this job? I mean, this has been around since the late 1970s, early 80s, when it would really caught fire, the whole conspiracy theory about the Kennedy assassination.
Do you know about,
although it's been going for, ever since he's been assassinated, really.
Did you even, and I had to, you spend some of the time watching the show Googling, did you know about the attempted assassination of a guy, I think it was named Colonel Washington?
No.
And it was a failed assassination attempt, but they found out that the bullet came from the same rare gun that Oswald ostensibly used to kill Kennedy.
Is that in this TV show?
Yes, it's so fascinating. You've got to watch this.
Have you seen any of the AI of JFK talking about Trump putting the name on the Kennedy Center?
I have.
It's so bad but funny.
There's none of that in this TV series.
Some of the AI is so bad it's funny. When you see it, it's like, hey, Donald, don't be a douchebag. thing with the mouth moving that way. The Forrest Gump way, which does it.
Well,
you know?
Clutch Cargo way. Right. just going. But anyway, Mike, I saw this. It's been a long time since I've been this impressed with a TV show right out of the shoot. And I think it's funny that Netflix grabbed it from Hulu and now they're showing it. I can't recommend it enough. And I thought of you particularly. I think you will really enjoy it.
11/22/63. Mm-hmm. Not a big splash when it came out the first time, right?
Well, because it was on Hulu.
Yeah, I think it got lost.
And it was, according to the reviews, it was really well received, but nobody saw it.
Josh, you want to talk about the porn that you've been watching on TV? I mean, you're like the latest one. First it was the hockey.
I mean, you're describing it. I feel like you're not describing it right.
Okay.
See, I was. I don't think porn was the description when I was looking at the movie trailer.
Okay. Yeah, all right.
I was told it's a thriller based on a book that a lot of women are in.
Too. Okay.
And right. Based on, and it came out. So I went and saw The Housemaid. Yeah. It came out before Christmas.
But
so
to be fair, like, Mike, pornography is thrilling. So it could be a thriller.
Who stars in The Housemaid?
The hot girl that everyone's talking
Sweeney.
About now.
Sydney Sweeney. Yeah.
And ooh. Amanda Seyfried.
Mm. Yeah.
But so it came out before Christmas. And it's still like is selling out theaters.
Can we get a trailer of it? Are we do we get to do that, or do they get mad at us if we do that?
We've run some trailers in the past.
Can we play a trailer of The Housemaid?
See if you can find a red band trailer.
What's a red band trailer?
The green band trailer can run before any movie, but a red band trailer only runs at R-rated movies.
I never knew that. Where did your brain suck that up?
I thought everyone knows that.
Yeah. What? Everybody knows that
you go see an R-rated movie, it's red before the trailers sometimes instead of green because it means they can. It's for adults.
You mean where they say the following is...
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Really? I didn't know that. I wasn't
Mike, you've
sure.
been going to G-rated movies too long.
I have.
Yeah. I mean, I know you love your cinema. Minions.
Yeah. Tells you what I've been going. I'm always with the kid.
Yeah. So I'm downloading the trailer. We'll have it in a minute.
Okay.
It's...
What's the plot in a nutshell?
The plot is a housemaid gets hired and the wife is crazy.
And it's Sydney. The plot is Sydney Sweeney's boobs.
There is way too much of that.
What do you mean way too much? Come on now. What's wrong with you?
That's not my thing.
Is when Sydney I go to Sweeney, movies. Is she the one who got hired or is she the hirer in this movie?
She is the hirer. She is the housemaid.
Oh no, so she's the one who was hired as the housemaid. That's what
I will throw this out.
I think her bit in all her movies is to try to look like, oh, I don't need makeup and all this.
Well, she's got
and
the
I think
one
that's
with
her appeal.
She's got the one with Jude Law where she's kind of makeup free. I think she was in that one. She's done a few of these where she really
she lets herself look very natural in Euphoria as well.
And she did the boxing one movie where people got upset because she made herself too ugly.
Yeah, nobody saw that, right?
Was that called Rocky IV?
I will tell you. I believe, and I get back to it again. I mentioned, I think, on the yesterday's show that if she walked into a room, she would make men stammer. That's how I think that's how hot she is. I think she has that in-person look where I know these movies kind of where she strips all the makeup off and everything.
She doesn't
like
it for me. I don't know what it is. Yeah.
But remember, this movie wasn't made for men. This theater
was for ladies.
This theater was packed. And there was one other man in the entire theater.
Really? Okay.
And did he sit next to you on purpose, Jake?
Oh, that's not working there. We got to go to here. Okay, and let's try again.
Let's try again. The trailer for The Housemaid.
Housemaid.
Apparently, there's like a bunch of books about this.
Hi, Mrs. Winchester. Oh, please call me Nina.
Oh, I am so into this.
So, why do you want this job?
I just really enjoy being a housemaid for the right families. Of course.
You know this is a live-in position, right?
Ta-da! This is your room.
Ooh. What do you think?
It's a little scary.
Perfect.
Okay, good.
Ooh.
So, would you like the grand tour? I know I have good taste. See what you're getting yourself into?
All right, that's enough. That's enough. I've seen enough. Yeah. I don't like to play trailers to the end because they give you the whole plot of the movie, but it looks pretty cool.
I recommend it. It was very good.
Let me ask you this. Did you enjoy the sexual content of The Housemaid more than you did Heated Rivalry?
Heated Rivalry, gay hockey player show, yeah.
I lasted longer than 2 minutes.
And what does that mean?
Yeah, I realize as it comes out.
Read into that, ladies and gentlemen. Yes. Absolutely. Read into that one. I wanted to ask Josh about his car. Josh is in the market for an automobile, so I want to find out how that's going because we all know that's how they get you, Rob. That's
Mike, what you got to do, if you want a car, you got to go to a good outfit.
Absolutely. Not a shyster outfit.
Right.
This episode is powered by Incogni, the bodyguard for your personal data. This you must know. Data brokers are vacuuming up your info, grabbing your names, social security numbers, addresses, everything. They sell it. They sell it to scammers, spammers, unsavory marketers, all the creeps out there that ring your phone off the hook and clutter up your inbox. That's why your phone never stops buzzing. You're always getting those emails you don't want, and identity theft is always circling. Data breaches climb every single year. Incogni hits back. They automatically remove your data from over 200 brokers, keep monitoring around the clock, and fight back when brokers push back. The result? You stay off their list, period. With 4 flexible plans, protection for you and your family, and a 30-day money-back guarantee, Incogni fits your life and locks down your data. Bottom line, if your info is out there, you need it. You need Incogni. Please check them out today. Use code TMOS at Incogni.com/TMOS to get an exclusive 60% off an annual Incogni plan. Incogni.com/TMOS. That's Incogni.com/TMOS. Our man Josh is, your car like melted down a short time back, right?
Well, the transmission completely died and they wanted $9,000 to get it fixed.
Now, nice. A transmission is an important portion of an automobile, Mike.
Now, I do.
Thanks, Rob.
I did get that towed.
Cheers.
To another place last week. So I'm hoping for some good news on that.
Okay.
But either way, I don't trust that car anymore. So it's like, even when I get it fixed, I think I might want to sell it.
Got to get rid of it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Kelly's car is at that point too, where we know we need to replace it and we want a nice family car because we take a lot of road trips. We travel now, a bunch.
When you refer to Kelly's car, do you spell car with a K? Kelly's car? It's more fun that way.
Kelly's car.
Subaru.
Right. Keep it right side up.
I'm a huge advocate of the product, even though
I love it. I took mine in for an oil change on Saturday, and you know, Mike, I'm homebound now, so I don't drive much anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But I got in that car. I said, this is the greatest car ever. Isn't this great?
Did you get an Outback?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's so good. You can't argue with it.
It's beautiful.
I tried to buy an Outback years ago, and the seat wouldn't go back far enough for me to drive. It was too
small. You are a tall drink of water. So, you are. People might not realize this looking at the podcast. Josh is 6'8".
He is.
Something what are you, like six? That. Are you 6'4"?
If you count the hair, maybe I'm 6'4".
Yeah.
I remember when he came down here the first time to wire up the studio, scared the crap out
of me
when he walked through the door. I was like, no, that's not Josh.
You should, you know? Josh, give him another try because, you know, I'm about 6'2", and it's fine for me. So I mean, maybe they've changed it a bit.
So I went this weekend, test drove some cars, because we know the plan is to buy something probably end of the month.
What are you now? What are you looking to get now? The car for you or the car for your wife?
So we went out as a car that would be our main family car.
Okay, so you're maybe looking
We both work from home.
You're looking for an SUV, maybe, right?
SUV.
Or a crossover.
Something small SUV. I don't want anything gigantic. We went, so first dealership was Kia, and we went to Kia because they've got a SUV that's got really high, like, safety ratings and
what,
all.
What is it,
and
that the was, Tuscarora or something like that, the big one?
It's the Kia JD Vance.
It comes with eyeliner on the on the lights.
But test drove that. They also have a car called the Carnival, the Kia Carnival that I test drove.
And that's named after the cruise line, Mike.
That felt like a minivan. Felt like a minivan. It had sliding doors.
What is it called again? What is it called?
It's called a Carnival. And again, Kia screwed up. It should be Carnival with a K.
Yeah, that would be more fun. Wasn't.
So I test drove that, and I test drove their SUV, and they were good. They were nice cars, but the price blew me away of how much cars cost now.
Yeah, it's almost like everything costs more now.
Where they're like, no, and the Kia guy is like, yeah, most people have a car payment $800 to $1,000 a month.
Yeah,
right? I said, there's no way. I said, I'm not doing that. So then I convinced Kelly. I said, all right, well, if cars are this expensive, let's go look at a Tesla. So we did a Tesla test drive.
Okay.
And what's weird about so we go to the Tesla dealership, guy puts us in the car, and I didn't realize that the full self-driving is completely full self-driving now that they roll out. So you type in the little GPS, go to Target, and then it pulls out of the parking space. It drove, you don't touch anything. And as of December, apparently they're like, yeah, you can use your phones, do whatever you want. You don't have to. Don't touch a thing.
Does the entire drive? And I spent the Carnival do that.
So,
what happened? What happened? What did I do?
You
well, I'm
went
playing
to the Carnival.
This. I'm playing. This is the Carnival music.
I thought this was our countdown.
You freaked me out there, Rob. I pressed too many buttons.
That's fine. You're fine.
Okay, go ahead.
So literally, you just sit there like
you know. When I'm playing sound effects, do you have to play sound effects at the same time,
Mike's
competitively?
Mike, just that's trying to better the show.
But
the Carnival.
So I don't know if you guys have driven in one of these Teslas, but you don't touch anything.
I hate that.
And I sat there, and at first I'm freaked out the entire drive. Then it crosses like six lanes of traffic, no problem. It stops for a pedestrian, no problem.
Incredible.
And
can you program them to hit pedestrians if you wanted?
Well, I have the dealer and I have the sales guy in the car with me, and he has me to go to a bakery, and the car drives the bakery itself. No.
Go to a bakery.
No, but that's just, it was like a mile down the road. So that's a show off. And then he tells you, all right, now you drive it back. So you drive it back. It's got amazing, like, pickup when you just put the pedal on the gas.
You're talking to me like I've never talked to you about them. I've talked to you about electric cars and talking
about
the torque.
But I've never been behind the wheel.
Okay, it's phenomenal.
I've never been behind the wheel. It's phenomenal.
There's nothing like it. There's nothing like the power. And by the way, it's not like shifting power. It's fabulous.
No, it's weird. It feels weird how fast it picks up.
Absolutely. It's a good weird, though.
But then I drop off the sales guy, and he says, all right, now just drive it for an hour, hour and a half, and bring it back. Uh-huh. And I spent an hour in Jacksonville just coming up with random things, typing it into the GPS, and letting the car take me
across town. How much fun was
that? I'm going to buy a Tesla.
Yeah!
It's the best thing ever.
Welcome to the world.
I'm
going
electric.
Yes,
where I didn't think I was.
Electric. There you go. You're getting progressive every day.
And
it's not really progressive. It's Elon Musk company. So don't worry about it. You know what I mean?
Right. Every car supports Trump.
The fact is, though, the fact is that with car prices today, you're not out of the realm of like what you would get a Kia for.
Exactly.
It's $38,000.
There it is. That's it.
For for their little small SUV.
How many does it seat? Does it, seat five?
Seats five and has a pretty large trunk.
Okay.
And it has a tow and roof rack. Yeah.
One challenge, though, when you go far, but the car you have will be easier than other electric vehicles. I'm challenged with mine when you go on the road. You got to prepare. If you're going to take one of your trips up to Baltimore, up to the Outer Banks in particular, you got to really plan it out and know what you're going to do.
I'm told if I go on the guy told me if I go into my car in my driveway and type in Camden Yards, that the car will start driving there and the car will make the appropriate stops for when I need to get charged.
Mm-hmm. And when you're up in the car without your wife or your family, the Teslas can also do a little something for you, make the trip a little smoother.
Look out, look out, look out. That's,
I can't wait.
The fact
I think
that
you're
I don't
smart.
Have to touch anything
yes.
is what sold it on Kelly, because apparently I'm an aggressive driver. She trusts yes. the computer more than me.
There it is.
Yeah.
That's a lock. That's the capture 100%. Right there.
I know I'm not a good driver.
That's the capture.
I'm a Washington, D.C. driver.
If she feels safer with the computer, you're fine. Carla's still scared because we had a scary moment with mine when I was driving it, letting it drive, and we came up on a stop traffic, and I was like, ah!
Yeah. But anyway. Was that as scary as hitting the target ball?
Still haven't fixed that.
Yeah. Of course not. Why? And yes, why would you? Yeah. Oh,
and now they're just letting horses in.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Someday I'll be able to get that repaired. Don't forget, send us a super chat on the Mike O'Meara Show. We'd appreciate that.
I will join the electric family end of the month, I think.
Congratulations. Subaru makes great electric cars as well. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we've got beautiful video, ladies and gentlemen. Looking forward to that. But first, I want to tell you that each and every week we put out an extra hour of uncensored content. It's called the TMOS Bonus Show, and we've always tried to make access super easy so we can get the laughs directly to you. Nice, right? Now in 2026, we have a glorious upgrade to our distribution system that will make your life so much easier. It's called Supercast. It's not going to make your life easier.
Mike, if you take something...
Based on the emails I get, it's made everyone's life better.
Everyone's happier by 8%, at least.
You know I hate to oversell. It will get you your bonus show in 3 easy steps, and it'll change your life forever. When you subscribe, you get an email, you click your preferred podcast player icon, and then you subscribe. Subscribe and you're done. It's that easy. Super easy. You can even gift memberships to loved ones. Every current bonus show member has been sent an email to set up their new account. It's all explained in your email. Please send it to people. Please gift it to people.
Yeah, it's a great gift.
If you
gift.
Have any questions, we'd love to hear from you. Josh is talking about the feedback he's getting with this.
Great feedback.
Josh at MikeOMaraShow.com, a great way to do it. Making the bonus show easy to access will help you help us, because the bonus show remains the best way you can support this show. Thank you in advance. Time for your video, Rob.
Hey, I like that. Some beautiful video.
Jerry.
Oh, the hotline.
The super hit sound of 77 WABC with the hotline of hits.
It's the hotline of hits, Mike. Mike, have you ever watched the program? It is a little long. Have you ever watched the program called My Strange Addiction?
No, I have not had the pleasure.
This is an addiction I'd never heard of, and I'm not going to tell you what it is. I'm going to let her tell you about it. And it's fascinating, and maybe it is a good way to lose weight. I don't know, but it is certainly a strange addiction.
There is quite a little bit of spice in this guacamole. I'm nervous, but I'm excited to try it. Sometimes I just blend it as it is. Sometimes I'll add something, even olive oil. They do it a lot in Italian restaurants.
Why put it on the toast if you're going
to
blend it?
I don't have an aversion to chewing, but you'll have an aversion to the weird textures that come with food.
You don't like the way it feels in your mouth?
No. I think it's awful, and I think it's like primitive, you know what I mean? I do not see snorting my food as a problem. I think it has a lot of benefits. No
she
risk
snorts
of
snorting.
She snorts it? All of her food, she snorts through her nose. What we've seen so far is her making essentially avocado toast, putting it in a blender to make a delicious, rich smoothie, and now she's going to suck it up her nose.
I don't overeat. I consume less calories.
She's lost 30 pounds.
Are we
going to
see her snort it?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Isn't she beautiful now?
I have had bloody noses about once or twice, and that was more at the beginning. It has really no drawbacks.
She is, that is so,
no. Nobody is
so disgusting.
No. She's off her rocker. That's the problem.
Wow. That's
a little more.
I didn't see that coming.
For who I am.
Because chewing's primitive.
Yeah, well, she doesn't like the way food feels in her mouth.
Oh, look at her.
Now she takes her water through her nose.
No.
She's going to choke.
I have lost several friendships.
What's the matter with her lip?
My food. just because I cannot stand to have hate in my life.
Mike, she doesn't want hate in her life. And if I was forced to guess what was wrong with her lip, I might say it'd be unsavory friendships.
If I'm at certain social events, sometimes I'm absolutely stuck by social norms to eat orally. It just makes me very uncomfortable. I'm very socially awkward and very quiet. Because of that, I do try to avoid events that,
is that
I'm
her husband?
Gonna have to eat the conventional way.
Does she have a husband?
It's not explained, but I
check your local broadcast listing.
I think that the fact that she's snorting food and doesn't have any friends, perhaps that's related.
Mm-hmm.
There's something broken in there.
Yeah.
And I mean, if you've ever gotten just like a splash of water up your nose in a swimming pool, that's a really bad feeling. Yeah. I can't imagine shoving an avocado up my nose.
The Neti pot?
Neti pot, but that's different. That's different.
The Yeti pot is dumb, but it's done with fur.
Yeah, that's right. Mike, are you...
Just invite her to out for coffee or something. It would be horrible in public.
Hot coffee.
Well, hot coffee would be okay. Don't invite her out for, like, you know, spare ribs.
nasty. Mike,
a lot of people love to be happy, but they're sad. And they think that maybe if they sing, they could be happy, right?
Wait. Start again. What do you mean?
People that are sad look for something to make them happy.
Well, of course.
And a lot of times they think singing will make them happy, especially like in an organized situation.
Are you sad?
Me? All the time. And so the idea of singing in a choir, it's not easy because you have parts and you have to have, you know, proper pitch and all this stuff. But what if in Wickham, England, they started a choir of people that aren't good singers?
Oh, I love this already.
And they just sort of sing the melody.
And none of them can sing?
No. So they choose an easy pop song. Now here's the leader.
That's a great idea for people.
I love it.
Just belt it out.
And afterwards, they have a snack and they snort it up their nose.
Wow, that's fun. I like that. Because to belt out a song
is great
with a bunch of other people so nobody really hears you is a great, it's liberating.
It's sort of like a stadium mentality when people sing. I do too. Mike, 60 years ago yesterday was the premiere of what people call Batman 66, the Adam West Batman.
Okay.
And it remains very popular among pop culture and collectibles and stuff. I didn't realize that when the show debuted, they had sponsors that Batman and Robin actually filmed commercials for. I'm a pretty big Batman fan, and to see this and not know it existed was a surprise. Let's end with this. Josh, do you know of a product? It's an old product. Do you know of a product called Lava?
No.
Okay. You'd love Lava, especially if you were working around like dirty cables and stuff like that, because it really gets into the nooks and crannies.
It's my grandfather, it's a really abrasive soap, is what
Oscar Hamilton Peralta, God rest his soul. Oscar had tons of Lava down in his workbench area and his sink down there. Lava, it's a gritty soap that gets all the nooks and crannies.
I think it really does have hunks of rock in it, like
pumice.
Lava rock. Yeah,
Rob,
pumice,
it has
precisely.
Pumice.
Well, Lava was one of the first sponsors of Batman.
Now that we've restored law and order in Gotham City...
We'll be running along.
I hear those reports, Commissioner.
What a mess. And look at your grimy hands.
Well, I just fingerprinted the mob.
Holy ink pad.
His hands need the grime fighter, boy wonder. Pass the lava, please, Cape Crusader.
Of course.
Lava's pumice muscles out dirt and grease.
Still made,
lava fights
think.
Dirty yep. hands most effectively. Just as you two fight dirty crooks.
There you go. So congratulations to all you Batman fans, and know the fact that Lava was one of the sponsors of the show.
Let me tell you how much I like that product. I'm thinking about, you know, that'd be a good thing to have around the house.
It's available at Ace Hardware.
A bar of Lava. Get it right down at Sunshine Ace. Sunshine. Anyway.
I use it, but only on my private areas.
There you go. Yes. Rob does the Lava pillow dance is what he calls it. We gotta take our leave. We will be back tomorrow with a brand new episode. I got to really get out of here. I got a little urgency.
Oh, dear.
We'll see you tomorrow for Josh Sorumkin and Rob Spiewak. You get everything on this show. Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
It's a fiber-rich diet.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MichaelMaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Colds, flu, strips, even COVIDs. Every disease cured with ease by this blessed formula based on ancient scripture.
What the hell's going on here?
Just thought we're almost finished. Good. Golly, Miss Molly.
He was an overweight alcoholic who just happened to be one of the greatest pure passers in NFL history.